Wowie, wow. We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit, you're
welcome
a scrumper.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to a club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com. Wowie, wow! You're listening to the Wild Edible World podcast, the podcast that has the hottest rising stars in the foraging community. I'm one of your hosts, Michael.
And I am Steve. We are here with just the sweetest baby angel this side of the Rio Grande, Mr. Lorenzo Tovani. Welcome to the show.
What up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man. I've been so excited for this episode for so long.
We have been super psyched.
Just because I feel like I know you already, you know? Like, just from your videos, which are wonderful, and it's obvious, like, that you put, like, a lot of time and a lot of effort and planning, and that there's been a lot of learning along the way into them. So, like, fucking thank you, man.
Dude, of course. I think my first introduction to you guys was like watching you eat 15 dandelions on Instagram. and I was like, oh, cool. These guys are up my alley. So being able to connect and see Michael at the festival and hopefully you at next year's,
yeah,
been really cool. And so, yeah, right back at you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we've really enjoyed your content from afar. And likewise, it was really awesome meeting you at the Wild Harvest Festival. Also getting to eat some of the food that you've helped prepare was like really a privilege, and it was delicious. I'm sure I told you then, but I'm telling you again now, that shit is all I think about like all year until September comes back around.
That's so awesome. Yeah, it was. I mean, that was a dream come true for me, that opportunity, to be honest.
Yeah, I bet, right? It was really cool to see Alan kind of like give out the open casting call, essentially, for like his crew,
totally.
Kitchen crew.
Yeah, it was pretty rad. Great group of people that orchestrated it all, and just getting like so much wild food. And, you know, it was like 220 people we were feeding. We did four meals in a row. It's not a small undertaking.
No, that's a fucking task, man.
It's massive undertaking, yeah.
I know. So logistics of getting to see that all happen, and, you know, just being in the environment that we were in with the people we were around, feeding them, like, awesome wild food, and just soaking it all in, dude.
Yeah, 100%. And just the, and you're not a stranger to large dinners of that quantity, this was kind of the first time you probably worked with like 200 people. What's the like largest dinner you served before this?
So I have been a part of bigger dinners with past jobs. When I did my apprenticeship in culinary school, I worked at this kind of like white tablecloth classic restaurant here in Columbus. It's pretty well known and has like good food, but it's mostly known for like their ambiance, right? Well, we did dinners for the grand opening of like this big library here for, I think it was over 700 people, dude.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. That's nuts,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had like plates going down the middle and just trays of food in these hot boxes that we were just pulling these giant trays of food out. And we just had this human conveyor belt. It was insane.
Yeah. That sounds like something I definitely never want to be a part of.
And well, it was plated too, right? It was like a plated dinner.
Yeah.
So you had to do it with style.
So, yeah. It wasn't family style. Everybody got their own plate. So we made 700 plates.
Wow.
Oh man,
yeah,
that sounds terrible, buddy.
But awesome,
unless
right?
you love that sort you know? Of thing.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
lots of restaurant experience,
it was cool.
but
it was cool
I want
then.
Nothing to
it,
do with
you
that.
You know, it was like, yeah, it was good for me.
Yeah, it was probably a learning experience for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to have like perspective as you go on through your professional career and like realize like even if it's a difficult menu or something like that, it's like, you know what, I've done like a way bigger project than this.
Sure.
I feel like, you know, difficult experiences like that are always kind of an opportunity. So
for all of our wonderful listeners, I guess just to kind of kind of reel it back a sec. If you have your eyes closed on the internet, Lorenzo is a huge presence on Instagram and I'm sure TikTok. I don't really take any
or take YouTube. Any do you time. Do YouTube?
Yeah,
channels?
YouTube.
All of the
YouTube.
Above?
All the reels are going to YouTube and trying to grow that a little bit. So,
but he's a trained chef, right? Classically trained.
Yeah.
And. Really, you're just digging your feet in and getting your freaking badges with like foraging and wild food and all this other good stuff. It's pretty inspiring. So I guess how did you get into the whole wild food thing?
So wild food was at the latter part of me kind of rediscovering or learning where my food came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like the average person just kind of consuming without really knowing all through, you know, middle school, high school, most of even culinary school. And then I really started learning more about nutrition and where our food comes from. So I went down, like, I worked at a farm and a slaughterhouse and was like really into like Joel Salatin and regenerative agriculture.
Sure.
And that evolved into the wild food. You know, I feel like it's just kind of like the next step. It kind of makes more sense than agriculture does, right? It's just like tending to wild plants.
Mm-hmm.
And from a culinary perspective, you get these really first expensive, but also flavorful. And then like the nutrition and health for me is top priority and quality. So you get the quality and top nutrition and you don't have to water shit. You know, the persimmon tree is going to produce fruit. It might vary with the rain, but you don't have to water it every day. Like my garden, I do, you know?
Absolutely.
So the wild food is really just, yeah, the wild food's just really awesome. And, yeah, definitely just keep discovering new amazing flavors.
Yeah, and it's like you talk about, like you just said, it's the passive gain that you get from a lot of these plants that are and mushrooms that are just happening anyway. That was a big draw for me. I mean, I saw you today you collected, we were talking on the internet, wow, just sounded like a geezer. You collected some passion fruit, right? We were discussing a little bit of the like semantics between like Maypop, passion fruit. They're basically the same thing.
Were you guys like messaging right. on AOL Instant Messenger, like
yeah.
in the chat room?
Literally, yeah.
So did you eat some of that? How was it?
Yeah, I tasted some, you know. It was like just a little sweetness, bitter, a little bit of just sweet and sour, I guess. The, you know, tons of seeds, right? They weren't
sure.
my favorite thing. There wasn't a ton in there, maybe because it's so late. Maybe some of that moisture's gone away. There wasn't a whole lot in there, but what there was really pretty delicious.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so cool, right?
Yeah, that was really cool. And it's funny how even though it's probably the same place you've been walking for a while, you probably make laps or whatever, and it takes kind of the bareness of the trees, the changing of the weather to really like open your eyes. And there's still stuff out there. And it was a plant that you didn't know was there. Or were you in a new place?
It was actually a stinging nettle spot that's really close to my house that I just discovered this year. And I didn't notice the vine. And I just walked past it. And had been walking past it the last couple of weeks even, and just kind of looked up and I was like, huh, there's some green balls hanging from the tree. And yeah, I just checked them out, busted one open, and I was like, holy smokes. Because I had actually, it's funny, it's like serendipitous. I had just seen posts about this, you know, it's like life is the ultimate algorithm, you know?
Truly, dude. Wow. Here, pass that joint. Hell yeah, dude. That is so true. It's so funny how often that happens, too. And maybe it's because, you know, how steeped a lot of us are in the community. The seasons kind of happen together. You know, we're all experiencing this the same world together. So it's not too strange that it's like, yeah, this is a season for May Pops. And people are going to be sharing about them, or you'll somehow, you know, just come across them. Yeah, it's extremely fortuitous. And
yeah,
the algorithm. Life is the ultimate algorithm for sure. It's freaky sometimes.
It is.
Totally.
It is,
it's like, dude, you know, you grab like, you know, you have 62 of something you have to do, and you grab a stack of labels, and somehow you got 62. It's like, dude, no way.
That's the best feeling in the whole world.
Yep.
What you just described.
Yep. I search that high. I search for that high every day.
So what else is life to live for? You know?
Is my lunch break and randomly grabbing the correct number of papers. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, and foraging. New plan.
Foraging.
Yeah,
that's what this podcast is about. I don't know.
So what's something else that you like, what's kind of your favorite thing that you foraged this year, do you think, that made the biggest impact on you?
Wow. Biggest impact. I would say like the wild bergamot or bee balm might be.
Hell yeah, dude. Like
basic, but one. I didn't know the plant until this year, and dude, it is so powerful and abundant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Especially for someone that's like culinary driven, you know, that's a fucking great plant, man.
You're talking to two very pro bee balm people here.
Yeah, fans, I've listened to your bee balm episode, and I loved the caprese idea.
Yes, you
know, very cool.
Yummy.
Yep.
Nice. That's a good choice.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I guess the gallium triflorum, the sweet bed straw, like the
yes. So you ended up making
vanilla.
You made a vanilla extract from that?
I haven't made it, but I have a whole quart jar packed full of it, dried. And dude, you crack that lid, and it is like heaven, heaven on earth.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's so incredible. Sweet smelling. It's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah, and kind of same deal. I had just been reading up on it and looking at a bunch of pictures of it and its differences between the cleavers that like I see all the time in my backyard. And I don't know, dude, I was just walking one day and boom, my eye caught it. And it was like just a spot loaded with a bunch of it.
Awesome. And it's like, it's definitely different. Once you like learn the, you know, nuances between the plants, it's, and especially whenever you break the leaf matter itself, it's like a totally different smell.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like translucent or like iridescent almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have all those hairs all over it, too.
Right. Yeah, it was. There was some growing in the back patio at the Wild Harvest Festival.
Oh, what a beautiful thing.
What a perfect
thing. Yeah.
Hello.
How quaint.
Yeah. Alan was trying to, like, tell one of the guys about it that was cooking with us, and I, like, went back there, and I was like, hey, is this it? And he's like, oh, perfect. And there you go. Learning at the Wild Harvest Festival.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I love your, I think recently you've been just busting out the videos of fermentation. So you've been doing like pickled this and that and promoting how it stores and how you make it and how it can increase your bioavailability of the food that you're already taking in. And so I love that shit so much. And I love that you do it from like a super high, like aerial view, you know, like you're not getting really granular. Like I use a quarter tablespoon of this salt, you know, you're just doing it as like a really approachable, just super information pack thing. And I friggin' appreciate that. And I'm glad there's somebody out doing that.
Sweet. Thank you. Quote, I think
pickles made
culinary
me buff.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. That was one of the titles. It was like, because it is, it's like, you know how it is sitting down and trying to eat like a pound ribeye, if that's your thing, you know, it can get kind of taxing on the palate, right?
It's like your favorite thing.
It's so much fat, you know, just so much going on. Mm-hmm. But if you get some pickled vegetables in there, you're really, you know, you're really like breaking up that richness and being able to keep going longer.
What's your favorite pickled vegetable? ETM.
I mean, right now I think it's red onions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. Sounds delicious. Yeah,
and you can use honey and maple syrup in your pickles. You know, you don't have to use sugar. And a chefy chef will be like, "Well, your pickling liquid will be cloudy," and it's like, "Well, who cares?"
Yeah,
you know?
Beat it, nerd.
That's the point.
Yeah, like what? I mean, is it like doesn't look pretty when you're storing it? Because like, as far as I'm concerned, you're eating the. You're not eating like pickled onion soup. You're like draining the liquid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm down to do shots of pickled onion.
No, brine. Totally. Oh, yeah. I'm a briny boy for sure.
We're doing it. That.
But like real talk, you can use that brine for like salad dressings or just like, you know, doing a pat of butter with your wild greens and a splash of that pickling liquid because it'll have, you know, it'll be mild out after the pickling process, but it'll have a lot of oniony flavor and then whatever sweetener you added to it. So it's like, once your onions are gone, use all that brine.
Yeah, I'm for it, man.
All your pickled stuff, use that brine.
So did you grow a lot of onions this year?
We probably grew like 20 storage onions and 10 red onions, but they're all eaten by now.
Yeah, that's pretty quick. I was going to say 20 is like, I mean, I honestly grew onions for several years in a row, and then I was like, I'm going to grow other things because I just eat way too many fucking onions, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's starting to smell like an onion.
Yeah, just a lot
it's cheaper to just buy them.
Yeah, it's almost cheaper to get them from a pal, you know?
Yeah, and curing them and storing them. Dude, turns out storing food isn't the easiest thing.
Yeah.
Right?
You know?
You got to get real crafty.
Yeah, keeping things cold and dark, like, that's the hardest part for me. I don't have anything, like, built low or whatever.
A cellar or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's goals. I mean, dude, having a built into the ground root cellar, like old school, that can access from the outside and inside.
Mm-hmm.
One day,
man.
Yep.
That's the dream.
I'm going to build it. Yeah. Or maybe have somebody build it for me. I'm not that kind of guy.
I'm just going to dig a hole in my basement.
All right. I think you rent, don't you? I don't know if that's a good idea.
I don't have a basement. Yeah. It's like a concrete slab.
You're going to make your basement. You're literally going to make a basement.
Yeah. Let me... Wowie, wow. We've got a new hot sauce for you.
It's so delicious.
It's spicy.
It's spicier for sure.
Spicier. It's called Harvest Moon, made with ghost peppers, American persimmons,
and spice bush berry.
It's going to be great. We also have t-shirts available. Brand new t-shirts.
The best t-shirts, I think.
Baseball tees.
Scrumpers United.
If you've collected apples, if you've collected fruit... Welcome to the club. You're a scrumper. So check out our merch store, wildedibleworldpod.myshopify.com.
Wowie, wow!
Sigh.
What's wrong, buddy?
Well, I just realized this mushroom supplement I bought isn't actually made with mushrooms. It's made with something called myceliated grain?
Myceliated grain?
Oh, no!
I'm sorry to tell you, buddy, but myceliated grain is a sure sign of a poor quality mushroom supplement.
Well, dang. I wanted mushrooms, not brown rice. What should I do?
Well, you should support a small batch producer from right here in the Midwest, Keweenaw Apothecary.
Keweenaw Apothecary? Tell me more.
Keweenaw Apothecary specializes in high-quality mushroom extracts from Michigan, and they always use real mushrooms, never, never, never myceliated grain.
That sounds like exactly what I've been looking for. Where can I order?
Well, you can find them at keweenawapothecary.com. etsy.com. That's K-E-W-E-E-N-A-W, apothecary.etsy.com. Be sure to read their many excellent reviews.
Thanks, buddy. I don't want no low-quality mushroom products from a factory. I want Kiwino Apothecary.
Wowie, wow!
Yeah.
What was your favorite thing you grew this year, probably? Because you guys have a pretty awesome garden in your backyard, from what I've seen.
Yeah, we did a lot. I think corn was...
Dang.
Okay.
It was a big win. You know, it's just like, we had like a, you know, 15 foot long by 4 foot wide patch of corn back here. It was like 6.5 or 7 feet tall, probably. And we got like 30 or 40 ears of corn off of it.
That's excellent. Do you know what variety?
Oh, man. I'm so bad at this. We bought like a multicolored kind of.
Oh, cool. Almost like a glass jemmy type thing.
Yeah, there was a three colored blue, purple, and kind of pinkish colored one.
That sounds
awesome.
And
then we got just a classic kind of like 8-inch sweet corn.
Heck yeah, man.
But they ended up crossbreeding. So it was like there wasn't really one plant that was one or the other. They were all a little bit of both.
Interesting.
I think that's a great way to look at life personally. You know? Mm-hmm. We're all a little bit of both, if you think about it.
Yeah.
We're all a little corny, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. And here in Ohio, dude, I mean, this is corn is what we're all about, man.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
All right. So being from Ohio, since you brought it up. Cincinnati chili, yay or nay?
It's too sweet, in my opinion.
I agree. Specifically, Skyline chili.
I don't like it. Yeah, I agree. But chili on noodles with beans and onions, I'm a supporter of.
Yeah, I'll do that right now. If that was here.
Yeah, okay.
Is that called Ohio style or something?
Cincinnati chili. Yeah. It's
Cincinnati.
They add like cinnamon. And you know what? I'm good. If my friend Dom, who's like a, he's a doctor, he's of folklore, like he did this like whole thing on Cincinnati chili, he's probably gonna like kick my ass for talking shit about Cincinnati chili. But from what he says, if I have like true Cincinnati chili, that I'll shut my mouth and just eat it because it's delicious. But that Skyline is just a little bit too much. It's not good.
Sorry,
Ohioans.
It's just too sweet. It's too sweet. I agree. Yeah. But the concept is cool. And
concept's great.
It's fun. There's like a secret menu, of course. Yeah. And like,
who doesn't love a giant pile of cheese? You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Inverted? Tell me more.
Yeah, right. Like they'll like put everything upside down.
That's wild.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like the noodles on top of the chili?
On top. Oh. Yeah, I guess I don't know why you would want that. It's like economically it doesn't make a whole lot of
sense.
It's like fruit at the bottom yogurt.
Yeah, why is it at the bottom?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, but there are others like, you know, there are others like fruit on the bottom yogurt cups. So I guess those are kind of nice, right?
I don't know why they exist, but just put
the fruit on the top, all right?
Yeah, just mix it up. It seems like a manufacturing accident turned marketing scheme.
And then people liked it. Who liked it, though?
I don't know.
Who is it that I like to eat the yogurt, plain yogurt first, and then have the fruit as a treat.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. I hope nobody does.
No, I know people like that. I know people. I think we all know somebody like that.
Are you one of them?
No.
You sound like one of them.
It kind of sounds like you are one of them, Michael.
I was reluctantly, if I could choose what yogurt my parents bought when I was a kid, it would not have been fruit at the bottom yogurt, but it was.
Fair enough.
Oh, man.
Fair enough.
I feel like you're scarred a little bit by this.
This episode isn't about my childhood.
Like you talked to Lorenzo for 6 hours.
Yeah, we had like a therapy session
after
like
minute 35.
Just crying.
Yeah,
just 3 hours of crying.
No, we're here to talk about your childhood. So tell us about the first thing you ever remember foraging, or like any wild plant experience you had.
Yeah.
What flipped that switch for you?
If your childhood was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the first ever thing I was aware. All right. So as a little kid, I did the red clover thing where you can pull out the petals and kind of taste
That's
some of
what
the
I'm
nectar
saying.
On the end.
Hell
and
yeah.
It's sweet. Yeah. Yeah. So that for sure. Like, I mean, elementary school type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously very unaware of, you know, not self-aware as a 7-year-old or whatever. But ramps were the first thing that I picked Ooh. As an adult, which happened just before COVID, really. Or
sure.
Like, you know, a handful of months before COVID. So the wild food is relatively new. And ramps were like my gateway plant.
100%. Yeah. That funky dankness, beautiful,
yes.
Beautiful plant too. You know,
I still have a honey fermented ramp bulb that is from the first year that I ever harvested ramps.
Wow,
that's awesome, man. Yeah. Wade's ears are probably tickling right now. Like fermentation.
What do you do? You have any plans for that, or is that just kind of like waiting for a moment?
Yeah, it's like. I'll probably do a tasting at like a dinner or something like that and have like 5 years of ramp honey.
Ooh,
cool.
You know,
damn, that's a good idea.
Great.
Yeah. Cause they're all labeled and I plan to make one every year.
Dude,
I just do a small handful of bulbs. They grow just insanely prolific here where I am.
We're familiar.
Area
Chicago's
too.
Chicago's got them. Yeah, Illinois, totally.
Yeah, we don't pick shame here.
No.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're a good guy. You want to be able to pick it for years to come, so you're not going to.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah, I was, spreading seeds this year, taking them to this park that needs some help.
Yes.
Nice, man. I love that.
Do you guys have both ramps out there? Do you have the white stemmed ones too?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. In my area, closer to the Chicago area, it's definitely more prevalent white ramps. And I would say more towards Steve's neck of the woods, which is more of like the Joliet area. It's heavy with the reds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I love those reds, man. They're funky.
Okay. So you taste a difference too.
Oh, yeah. They're different.
Oh, way different, dude. I think the white stemmed ramps are like grassy and just kind of almost like bitter, whereas the red ramps are just pure onion.
Yeah, it's like the white ones.
Stepchild of ramps.
Yeah, the white ones are like ramps. The red ones are like ramps, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Fucking ramps.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, one is just, and you know, the white ones don't have bulbs like the red stems.
No, they don't. They seem to grow a little bit thinner.
Right. It's like they never bulb out. You get the ramps at the end, you know, when it's really getting cold and those bulbs are just under there without any of the foliage, man, they get big.
Oh, man, I can't wait for springtime.
I'm so excited. We got to do like a quadruple batch of that hot sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, you tried some of that?
I did. Yeah. It's been on both my eggs. I mean, I've used it for just about anywhere I use heat, but I would say like hot sauce usually ends up on my eggs or in like on a rice bowl. I do a lot of rice bowls. So my favorite I like the funkiness of the ramp one, but I'm on like a persimmon kick this year. So the persimmon in a hot sauce is like fucking cool. And it made me think about like, what other cool savory applications could persimmon belong in?
Absolutely, thank you. I like it a lot more than I thought I would. We came up with something pretty cool, but
I fucking love that shit.
Yeah, it's
awesome. Delicious.
Yeah, for sure. And my gosh, the art, shout out. Like, holy smokes, hey. Dude. The bottles look awesome, too.
Thank you. Yeah, shout out to Laura. Yeah, does an sure. awesome job with our art. Yeah, thank
so,
you.
So talented.
Very cool. It's always cool to see a product. You know, it's like, hey, dude, if you saw that on a shelf, it would, you know, belongs on a shelf, buddy.
Thanks. Yeah, truly. It's got a very professional look to it, contrary uh-huh. to our show.
Yeah. And by no, shelf, he means cool. cupboards. Everyone that's listening to this yes. podcast, cupboards. So yeah. order some of that sauce, man.
Yeah, buy some yeah. hot sauce. I just shipped out a couple today, so thank you guys for your orders. They are, you know, a few people are buying them, but yeah, let's... You guys got to try this shit.
It's really good, honestly.
You got to try it, man. It's
anywho,
good.
What else? What's somebody that somebody else says, like, besides Chef Allen, who's another big inspiration for you or one of your favorite authors?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And it doesn't even have to be foraging. It could be like a chef that you look up to or absolutely. Anything along those lines.
Yeah.
Yep. so... I would say, like, Japanese cooking is really fascinating to me. Latin cooking is really fascinating to me. So I've been, like, I got the Nobu cookbook, which Ooh. Is really a bougie restaurant. Yeah. But See. The flavor profiles and ideas in there are really cool. It's very, like, simple and letting the ingredients kind of say their thing. And I love the, you know, like, lime and herbs and just, like, the super raw, fresh fish kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So that's been really fascinating to me. And then, like, going down the rabbit hole of, like, masa and corn. And I've been making tons of arepas recently with my chili yes. and eggs and stuff. There's this cool little company, or like, yeah, I guess a company, whatever. They started a business here in Columbus, and they're buying corn from this place called Local Millers, where they do Ohio grains. And so it's Ohio corn being nixtamalized by the couple that owns this company in their kitchen, and they're grinding it down and making fresh tortillas that they're selling at the market. So they'll, like, press tortillas and cook them on the comal, like, right in front of you and give you That's warm awesome. Tortillas.
Fuck yeah.
And they sell masa in bulk. So I've been buying masa in bulk and playing around with it. I just got a bunch of corn husks sent to me, and
Ooh,
so I'm going to play around with tamales.
Yeah, make some tamales for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, that's, like, a great thing to do for, you know, one of my, like, wild food kind of dinners, right? It's, like, a perfect vessel, and all I need is, like, one burner, and I can set one of those bamboo steamers up on top of it
mm-hmm.
and steam yes. a shit ton of tamales with, like, not a whole lot of work. And it's super easy because I can just prep them all ahead and just turn it on, let
yeah,
it rip.
That's ideal, right?
Man. And people love it. They're like, oh my God, he made tamales out here? It's like, I mean, I did all the work ahead of time, but, you know, yes, like, we do have tamales out here in the woods.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah, and I thought I'd yeah. serve some bougie shit up in the trees, but tamales are, that's awesome. I can only yeah. imagine. I love tamales, and I've been playing around with... like fresh nixtamalized cornmeal and yep. Masa too. So awesome.
It's awesome.
It's so
the flavor.
It's so
Dude,
good.
The flavor.
The smokiness. You like, you know, in store bought cornmeal, there's none of that woody characteristic or that ash, you know. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
And it's not like you think about eating or tasting ash or whatever, and it's kinda like, ew, but no, it's
yep.
delicious.
Yeah, I'm yeah. so hungry right now.
So my guys are using lime, which is a little different, right? I think
yeah.
it's like,
sure.
it doesn't give it that smokiness, which I've never had the smoky thing you're talking about. So I'm
Ooh.
Like, you know, yeah, right? Yeah.
I got a recommendation. Yeah.
Yeah, you should
yeah.
do that.
I can tell you a good place to
definitely
get
hook it up. Yeah, definitely hook it up. Yeah, because it's like that. I know that's just a slightly different profile. The lime's really cool. I mean, it's like a really clean corn flavor.
But yeah, it's still like a whole nother level than anything you're gonna find at the store.
It's insane. Oh my gosh. And they're like these colder days on Saturdays, like they're done at the market now. But dude, walking away with like a tortilla hand warmer that like is a car air freshener as well.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The tortilla hand warmer car freshener.
Literally.
And you
it's
can
like half
eat
the time
it.
The yeah, they wouldn't even make it home half the time, you know? I would have to buy two packs because I would be snacking so hard on the tortillas on the way home.
Was it you that posted that pozole?
Yeah, they do pozole too. Yep.
Fuck, man. It sounds so good.
Yeah, they just did one drop of it. I think they're going to play around with some other things as well. I'm not exactly sure what they have planned, but the pozole is definitely going to happen again. And yeah, they did like five tostadas with their corn they do that they fried, and then two salsas and like some shaved lettuce or cabbage, I guess.
Yeah.
And then some radish and a lime. So yeah, it was like real tradition.
Sounds
and,
like sounds
super
like
delicious,
heaven.
Dude. Yeah, great value. I mean, it was like a quart container packed full of shredded chicken. It was amazing.
I have been searching for a good pozole for a long time. I've never had pozole. I've been told I need to make it. Somebody called it masa soup, and I was like, harina soup or what, masa, whatever. It's the same thing. It's pozole, and I was like, oh, I know pozole. I just haven't had it yet. So y'all are making me hella jealous.
We should make it.
Yeah, you know, there's two kinds, right? They make a red and a green.
Red and
so
a green, yeah.
What's your favorite?
The green.
Really?
Honestly.
I'm a red guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Man, I love
the green. It's got this like cilantro and lime punch that is like so my vibe.
Okay,
yeah,
what's so special about the red?
Smoky.
Oh.
Depth
of flavor. You can just get a shitload of flavor with those like dried chilies and like
it's
man.
Deeper.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's deeper.
It's like it's Mexican ramen, you know, like or like pho. Imagine that like broth that you get with. Oh my gosh,
this is
a great podcast. Everybody's gonna be hungry. They're gonna be like,
I know.
I'm gonna visit my local Mexican restaurant.
We're all gonna go get sushi and pozole
I've got a bowl of masa mixed up in the kitchen with like. Dehydrated like a mix of dehydrated powdered alliums and like cumin seeds and a bunch of salt I put in there.
Prove it,
a couple other things. Yes, I'm gonna fry them up.
Tag me in it after this.
You can make the thumbnail for this podcast on Spotify or whatever.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I'll try.
Let's do that.
I've never done that.
I'm totally kidding.
No, it's going to be the only one I've ever changed. And it's going to be a picture of like a ball of dough.
No context.
Well, it's kind of similar to our logo. It's going to be like a yellow circle. Like, what are they?
That's what we should do. We should superimpose our logo over the ball of dough.
Yes. And
dude, we're on to something. Dude, is the collaboration the internet is not ready for.
Exactly.
They were not asking, and they were not ready.
Step aside, Beyonce. We about to break the internet here.
They never wanted it.
Yeah, they never wanted it is probably closer. Oh, man.
Oh, that's too good. Yeah, I'm hungry now, man.
I know,
we've really done it.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. What's it been like talking on the Best Foraging podcast on the internet?
Man, I tell you, time has flown. It's just been a whirlwind, and I've had a whole lot of fun, guys.
Definitely, dude. Hey, what are you having for dinner tonight? Like 72 eggs, like you normally do?
No, literally. Yeah.
What? Really?
Not 72, but he's
no,
a lot
not
eggs.
72. But yeah, like. probably so this is the thing, I'll do like five, you know, six eggs if I'm not eating anything else, or I'll do like four eggs and like a sausage link.
Yeah, I'm for it.
That's what you have for dinner most of the time?
I love your plate.
No, not most of the time. That's one of my meals it's like my easy filler meal because I have like 8 dozen eggs in the fridge at all times because they basically never go bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a easy. I call it, you know, it's like fast food. It's like really
true.
It's like
easy to scramble up six eggs and just like have a no thought dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Buddha bowl, but like different. It's like a Lorenzo bowl. It's like a shitload of eggs, a sausage link, some pickled veg, maybe some kind of sauce, probably some kind
tortilla
of
chips.
Yeah, tortilla chips. Yeah, can't forget that.
Yeah, persimmon spice bush hot sauce, maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, sponsored by the Wild Edible World.
Shit, man. Well, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, it's been
cool. Yeah, of course.
You have any? You have anything coming up? Or it's wait till spring.
You know, it's wait till spring. We're gonna. I have a friend, Grace. We do some pop up dinners that are. Have some herbal inspiration in there. She's an herbalist, so we're gonna have a couple dinners in the winter, and I will probably do some walks around some parks here with a yoga studio, but those classes and dates aren't nailed down yet, so best thing to do is just go to lorenzocooks.com to keep an eye on when those dates drop, but there will be stuff during the winter, and then next year we're going strong with classes and dinners, so
We'll see.
Got a lot planned.
Awesome. Yeah. Keep up the silly attitude, man. I love the your goofy faces, the lightheartedness that you bring to the whole deal. It's really refreshing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You guys too. I love the sense of humor. And when I saw you guys, I was like, all right, I need to slide into these guys' DMs until they accept me as one of their own.
Absolutely, that's all you got to do. We love everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yep. I
well,
love
you're
it.
Doing a hell of a
Thanks,
job,
guys.
Pal.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. You as well.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Rock on.
Bye, Lorenzo.
See you guys.
That was the amazing Chef Lorenzo Tavani.
What a fucking guy.
Follow him at chef_Lorenzo, LORENZO. He is the man. He is constantly pumping out fresh content.
Yeah, he has so many videos.
Every day.
You will be so entertained.
I was scrolling down his feed, and it is like, I don't know, about 10 rows down, and it says 400 videos in 2 years.
Yeah.
This man is a machine.
Yeah.
So big respect out to Lorenzo. So fun to talk to.
That was cool.
Even more fun to have a parasocial relationship through this crazy black little computer that everybody has in their pockets. And just he makes amazing content. I love his video. So I want to make some pickles.
Yeah, I'm so hungry. Let's go get food.
Yeah, let's say goodbye and get some food. It's been lovely having another chat with you, Steve.
Always a pleasure, Michael.
Make sure you check out our merch. Buy some hot sauce. We also have t-shirts available. If you write a 5-star review, screenshot it, and email it to wildediblesworld@gmail.com, I will send you free stickers and like keychains and magnets. And
I seal every envelope with a kiss. So just so
I lick it. Yeah. So you got the whole game there, man.
Yeah, one different sides of the envelope because we're
not
weird.
Yeah, I'm not licking it to seal. I just lick the front of it.
Yeah,
and then okay. So
see you later.
Do that. Bye.